Guadalupe Radio presents A Christmas Carol.
Third chapter. The second of the three spirits.
Scrooge awoke with the most prodigious One might say it was so colossal, it could awaken the dead.
And perhaps it did.
He sat up in his bed, reflecting the hours earlier that felt a lifetime ago. The sound of his sister's sweet song of youth still echoing in his ear, giving him great comfort. He reached down to touch his red scarf, tattered by time, and fondly caressed it.
Thank you, my sissy. Thank you.
There was a feeling of profound remorse and also blissful content at what he had witnessed, and in the tone of this memory, he felt not fear as before, but almost a curiosity of what the next ghost had to offer. There was a gentle sound of glass and bows clinking, and Scrooge stretched his vision to see what direction a light might be coming from. Under his door, a dim light glowed. He stood up, and now, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, it was just then when the bell struck and wide open flew the bedroom door into the parlor room.
Come in, and know me better, man.
Scrooge suddenly felt quite timid, for the sight before him was unlike anything he'd ever seen in his home. A grand feast was prepared with beautiful linens, fine silver, crystal glasses, glorious, colorful bouquets of flowers, and a roaring fire. The food displayed was enough to make anyone's mouth water. Red hot chestnuts, pecan pie, gleaming berries, candy yams, caramel apples, chocolate pudding, and cherries piled on top of milk white cream. There were also fine cheeses, toasted breads, crisp from butter, olives seasoned in oil, and oranges with spices that were so aromatic, the whole house seemed edible. Scrooge almost could not recognize his own home so finely displayed, and it made him ponder if this was something indeed he could have delighted in sharing all these years. A family with a satisfying meal, basking in warmth not only from the fireplace.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
Scrooge reverently did so. The ghost's eyes were warm and kind, and he was clothed in a simple forest green robe that had a white fuzzy trim and hung loosely on him. Round his neck, a wreath of holly shining icicles and lush berries. His dark brown hair and full beard curled with ivy and little bits of dusted gold.
You have never seen me before.
No, never.
never walked with any of my family before?
I'm sure I wouldn't know if I had. Have you many siblings, Spirit?
More than 800 brothers and sisters.
Oh, quite a large family to provide for.
The Spirit rose, and as he did, so the beautiful table of decadent foods vanished. Scrooge unconsciously licked his lips, and his stomach growled, secretly saddened he was not able to indulge in the meal. Then, having a quick thought of the small beggar children he had seen many a time outside the bakery window, he grimaced in pain at the thought of what real hunger must have felt like.
Spirit, conduct me as you will. Last night I learned great lessons that my assumptions had priorly burdened me with incorrectly. Tonight, I know you will teach me. Let me be your wide-eyed student and profit from your knowledge.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer, and we will travel together in this night.
Scrooge did as he was told, and off they floated down to the street, gently landing to the next neighborhood sidewalk, where people were gaily shoveling away the snow in jovial and gleeful manners, placing salt on the street to benefit others so that they wouldn't slip on the ice. There were street vendors singing out, selling bundles of high-blooming pear and apple-clustered pyramids, baskets of warm walnuts, and crafts of eggnog, grand bound roses hanging off sellers' hooks, long cinnamon sticks beckoning one's nose in delight, blended scents of rich coffee beans and teas. One vendor had packages of French figs that he delightfully juggled for the onlookers' amusement. Oh, everyone was in the best humor, even with the busy, scurry, rumbling. People passed each other with smiles and laughter as they bumped into one another.
Figs! Fresh figs! What's Christmas without figgy pudding?
Share the spirit of Christmas, roses. The reddest roses you've ever seen. Adorn your sweetheart, your altar, or your dining room table with these miraculous beauties.
Cinnamon sticks, cinnamon sticks. Don't forget your cinnamon. Throw them on the fire, put them in your tea. Give to your neighbor.
As Scrooge and the Spirit wandered, the Spirit would occasionally touched down his torch. Scrooge observed that every time the Spirit did so, it appeared to change something gently for the better. A couple began to argue in the market.
Oh, you didn't get a gift for my sister, but remembered yourself.
That's not at all true. I just really wanted that fine brandy. I worked hard. I mean, why should it be for her and not myself?
The Spirit kissed his torch above their heads.
Darling, I have already purchased that bottle to surprise you. I remember how you have longed for it. I appreciate and value all you do. Let us not argue. Just grab her some chocolate cherries from the grocer's. She'll love any thought you put her way.
My sweet wife, I love you. My words were selfish. I'm sorry I made you feel as though I don't value your family. I love them as I love you. I have a little extra money from my bonus this year. Of course, I'll grab those cherries and a little perfumed cake, too.
Ah, good humor restored by the touch of your torch.
a street vendor saw a hungry child wandering close by. The spirit kissed his torch above the vendor's head.
Here you are, my child. Do you like candied apples? Take one for now and one for later.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you so kindly. I'll give one to my sister. Now I have a present for her. Thank you so much. You've answered my prayers and made my holiday.
It is a torch that sprinkles goodwill and merriment, a fragrance of my own making.
Spirit, I wonder, why do humans need the encouragement of your torch? If these be good, kind people of faith, does it not hearken upon them to act charitably without your magic encouraging them?
The world you live in is complex, Ebenezer. There comes a fear of not having enough. Not enough food, wealth, opportunity. It puts into some minds a blind spot, distrust, inability to act with mindful awareness of the self and others. Even to weaponize kindness or spirituality as a weakness. There are some upon this earth of yours who claim to know us, who do their deeds of passion, pride, ill will, hatred, envy, bigotry, and selfishness in our name, who are estranged to us and all our kind, as if they had never lived a day in this world. Remember that, Ebenezer, and charge their doings on themselves, not us. I am but a mirror, one who can enhance and reflect what is already capable of being seen within.
Onward they went, and slowly made their way to a small, modest doorway. The spirit smiled and sprinkled his torch upon it.
The poor need kindness the most, dear Ebenezer. Incredible to observe. Those with the least to give are often the most generous to those around them. Sadly, opportunities are often not as vast for them. Your scribe here, Bob Cratchit, you give him the barest of earnings, the least amount you legally can. And yet, he is grateful. His family would never know him to be cheap with them. His love is not economic. It is all the vaster and grander. He takes the opportunity to find inspiration and observance in his hardships and produces himself with creative abundance. See here, he and his good lady wife prepare a grand treat for their children. They have stayed up each night crafting a story that they plan to enact. They have taken their tattered sheets and created capes for the children to wear on the grand adventure of their story. Bob has written out the book for them to keep and treasure, while his wife Belinda has made incredible costumes with the most meager of means.
Inside, the children eagerly awaited their parents, who were busy in the kitchen getting dressed. Belinda emerged with a twice-turned gown with an ivy crown, tiny bits of holly wrapped from the twig her husband had brought her. She was brave in ribbons, which are cheap and a good way to show a little bedazzle on a rather ordinary outfit. She passed around the room wooden spoons, tin mugs, and pans to make, depending on your ear, noise or music. She announced grandly with a great bow,
"Listen up! Hear, hear! And now, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, I give you, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, the exceptional Bob of the Bountiful Forest and his merry, merry, merry fairy folk!"
Belinda banged on her pot proudly, and all the children joined in on their own kitchen-based instruments. Out paraded Bob Cratchit in a glorious
gloriously goofy cape and top hat. He threw his merry folk out to his offspring, little dolls he and Belinda had made from corn husks, string, and turmeric paste.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, good people! I come to you today, accompanied by the merry fairy folk of the forest. They have a story for you that they ask to be delivered in song. So, I pray you listen and hear their words, knowing much of it, of course, is in traditional fairy tongue. Come, children, come, come sing with me each chorus.
The children roared with laughter and giggles, all parading their new little corn husk friends.
Bob reached down, grasping his youngest son, and put a little cape around Tiny Tim's neck. He took him upon his shoulder as a lass, for Tiny Tim, he bore a little crutch and had most of his body supported by an iron frame.
Come, my son. I need a fearless co-leader to join me in this tale of epic adventure.
I'll not let you down, Papa. We shall lead a grand reverie.
Yes! Wonderful, Tim. So tall and gallant on your father's height. And where is Martha? We need a fair maiden to hearken the likes of the fairies. One whose song is so sweet as nectar, they will not be able to resist.
Their oldest daughter stood up, blushing in her threadbare dress, but swiftly covered with a delightful cape adorned in little purple bows, with a large, bouncy blue one at the neck to hold it in place.
Oh my, do I feel so glamorous. I could fly over a field of golden flowers and weeping willows filled to the brim with fairy apartments within. Wouldn't that be just so marvelous indeed? Our own little world of fantasy. Tiny Tim, wouldn't you just adore that? Like all those lovely dreams you tell us about.
Oh, yes. I had one just last night. Except instead of willow trees, I flew over a wonderful river that merged into the sea. It felt endless. But my wings never tired. I only felt stronger and stronger as I flew on.
Darling boy, you are always flying in my heart.
And what about Peter and I? Can we join in too? I want to be as lovely as a fairy.
And I, a strong and mighty protector of my kin. I can do a jaunty dance with my magic cape abounding. There are no limits at all. Do you want to see my dance moves too, Papa?
The twins, Grace and Peter, jumped up excitedly as their mother laughed, dressing them both in their cotton capes they made, which they pretended to be made of wool.
But of course, my scrumptious lovelies. Up you go. Take your spoons and fairy folk with you on the adventure. We've a remarkable tribe gathering together. Yes, yes, we do.
The sight of it all for an outsider would be quite curious. A family in old sheets jumping up and down with corn husks and cutlery while singing and prancing about a small living room. But it brought a tear to Scrooge's eye as he watched the commitment of these parents to giving their children happy memories that they would no doubt hold on to for a lifetime.
I feel shame, Spirit.
And why is that, Ebenezer?
I have made this family's life all the harder. I know not why. I see this man each day. He has done me no wrong, and yet, I suppose, familiarity breeds contempt.
The spirit just looked at Scrooge, then turned to watch the Cratchits' little play commence. Bob was now clinking his tin cup on the table with Tiny Tim on his shoulder. He sang out loudly in a call in response to his family, who returned joyously singing and clattering away.
We know where the cherry tree blooms today. Oh, don't we?
Yes, we know where the cherry tree blooms today. Hi, fiddle-fo-fee.
She drops her sugar and she sheds her leaves, making sweet candy.
She drops her sugar and she sheds her leaves. Give us candy. Oh,
ask the fairies, ask so sweet,
to crystallize those trees. Lie, 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 lie.
They all laughed and clapped, and upon thinking of sweets, became all the hungrier. Mrs. Cratchit scooped up the spoons, putting them on the table, and called the children to dinner. Bob hesitantly took Tiny Tim from his shoulders and placed him at the chair next to his, keeping his hand upon his son's. It were as if Tim were an extension of Bob, a limb. He desired to never let him go, yet held on to him as a sacred treasure he could fill with love to no end.
That was the most excellent of stories, Father. Oh, and Mother, too. Thank you indeed.
Yes,
yes, yes, stupendous. Yes, yes, that was glorious.
Wonderful.
Fantastical. Most,
that's wonderful, Papa. Yes, yes.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, children, we are so very blessed. Blessed to have each other. We love you so. A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Tiny Tim sat very close to his father's side on a little stool his sister had brought out for him. Bob took his withered little hand in his, tightly kissing it and brushing it to his cheek.
Spirit, tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, a crutch without an owner. Carefully preserved. If the shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no! Oh, no, kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If the shadows remain unaltered, then what? If he be likely to die,
he had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Scrooge hung his head low to hear his own words quoted by the spirit. He was overcome with grief and penitence.
Man, dare you decide to claim who should die and who would live? Who are you to know such things? It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Scrooge fell to his knees before the ghost, trembling. At that moment, he heard his name.
Mr. Scrooge, I'll give you the founder of the feast.
Founder of the feast? Indeed. I wish I had him here to give him a ripe piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear the children, it's Christmas Day. A day of loving celebration and honoring each other.
It should be on Christmas Day that one drinks to the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know it, Robert. You know it better than anyone, poor dear that you are.
My darling, to love, kindness, and the spirit of goodwill towards all.
As Papa would say, being alone without anyone to love is hard. You know how lucky we are to have each other. We should wish that warmth surrounds him. Perhaps he's mean because he's very, very soft and just needs all the more love and kindness sent his way.
Oh, bless your tender heart. Of course, for you. I'll drink to his health for your sake and to the day. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I've no doubt he'll be very, very merry in that fortress he calls a home.
Cheers to Mr. Scrooge!
There was no heart in it, for the mere mention of his name cast a dark shadow on the party that was not dispersed for a full 5 minutes. After it passed, they were merrier than before, from the relief of Scrooge, the baleful being done with.
I'm the ogre of the family.
You've every opportunity to change that, Ebenezer. Now, on to the next house. Our time here is done.
With a whirling of his cape, they were in another living room. Though not as humble as the one prior, a modest home filled with Scrooge's niece Adeline, her husband Jonathan, his three sisters, Cecile, Lorraine, and Daphne, and their two children, Sabrina and Christopher. His niece was telling them of their earlier meeting in his office in an animated fashion before the fireplace.
And then he said, "Bah humbug! Bah humbug to Christmas! As I live!" And he believes it too.
Scrooge's niece, Adeline, had the most infectious laugh. She roared with her belly, and it caused everyone around her to fall prey to laughter.
Good grief! Bah humbug! Who even says that?
For shame! He's a ripe old fool is what he is.
Oh, Jonathan, my love. He's just a comical fellow. His offences carry their own punishment. I have nothing to say against him.
Comical, indeed. Humor aside, I am sure he is very rich.
What does he do with all that money? If he's so stingy, where does it all go?
Oh, it matters not. His wealth is of no use to him. Sadly, he works himself to near death, and he doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't even enjoy it.
He hasn't the satisfaction of thinking he is ever going to benefit you with it, does he? What a waste. Such a fool.
Oh, I have no patience for him. And I've never even met the man. My cherished one, you have always been too kind to him. Each time offering him an opportunity to gather with his family, giving him the same chance every year, and him always turning you down, turning us all away. The poor bugger may rail at Christmas till he dies.
He's not ever come, and you still invite him?
Mm-hmm.
What's his problem, then?
Oh, I wish I knew.
I'd stop inviting him if I were you. There comes a time when enough is enough. If he hasn't the good graces to treat you with even common courtesy and respect.
Beloved, what we're saying is, it's just, I mean, he hasn't even met our children.
Ha! He's never met the children. My word! Ridiculous!
He didn't even come to their wedding. Don't you remember? Such a terrible shame. A terrible, terrible shame indeed.
Adeline and Jonathan's children, Sabrina and Christopher, looked up.
Oh, are you talking about Gammy Serafina's brother?
Yes, dearest. I'm sorry for him, that he loses out on knowing you, the two most wonderful children I know.
I wish we could get to know him. It would be fun to hear about what you were like when you were our age, Mama. Did you get into as much trouble as me?
Well, that's a story for another night. We shall see about your Uncle Ebby. Perhaps, my sweet, in time. Perhaps in time.
Goodness, they are their mother's children, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are. Such little loves.
All right! Enough adult talk! Is it time for games yet?
Yes, yes, darlings. How about a game of musical chairs?
Jonathan sat at the piano as Adeline sang, with the little ones chiming in.
Yes, games, games!
Her sisters-in-law set out the chairs. They went about playing music and stopping, running around the room, bobbing into each other, laughing wholeheartedly. At once they were down to the last chair, they all started chanting,
Opla, opla, opla!
Right. Now it's time for yes and no.
Oh, here's a new game. I don't know this one.
The spirit, greatly pleased to see Scrooge watching eagerly with his hands clasped tightly as the family commenced in gleeful merriment.
Well, what am I thinking of?
Is it a place?
No.
Is it a thing?
No.
Is it an animal?
Yes.
Is it one that can fly?
No, no, no.
Is it a gentle beast?
No, but one quite ferocious.
Hmm. Does it live in our city?
Yes, it walks the streets.
Is it a dog?
No, it is much larger than a dog and much meaner.
Is it a bear?
No, silly. Bears do not walk the streets.
Is it mystical?
Like a werewolf.
Oh!
Oh no, it is quite real indeed.
It must be an ox.
We aren't near a forest.
A rabid cat?
No, I told you it's much larger and sometimes scowls at passers-by.
Ha!
I have it!
I know what it is.
It's your Uncle Scrooge!
Which it most certainly was. The admiration was of universal sentiment, though some objected that the reply to, is it a bear? Or to have been, yes.
He has given us much merriment and laughter, I am sure. And it would be ungrateful to not drink to his health. Here's to Uncle Scrooge. Well done, Uncle.
To Uncle Scrooge!
A Merry Christmas and bountiful New Year to the old whatever he is.
Well, had I not known better, I'd say why not? A cheers to bring them merriment. I'm surprised and quite glad to be thought of at all. My little niece, she's an image of her mother.
We must be off now, Ebenezer. My time here is near done.
But can't we stay for another game?
My life upon this globe ends tonight.
Tonight?
As Scrooge gasped, his eyes fell downward, noticing a protrusion from the foot of the robe.
Forgive me, Spirit, if I am not justified in what I ask, but I see something strange. It doesn't look as if it belongs to you. Is it a foot? A claw?
It might be a claw, though there is flesh upon it. Look here.
From the folds of his robe hid two children, wretched, frightful, hideous, and miserable. They knelt at his feet, clung on the inside of his garment. Where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurked and glared out menacingly. Scrooge started back, appalled. He started to choke on his words.
Spirit, are they yours?
They belong to humankind. They cling upon me, appealing for their fathers. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both and bid them end.
Have they no refuge?
Ah, Ebenezer. Hmm. Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
The bell struck 12. Scrooge looked about him for the ghost and saw it not. As the last stroke of the clock tolled, a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground, approached him.
End of the third chapter.
A Christmas Carol is an original production by Guadalupe Radio, based on Charles Dickens' story and adapted by Juliette Blasor, with special performances by Addy Daddio, Seamus Dever, Juliette Blasor, Sal Lopez, Michael Sokol, Angelina Reo, Eduardo Enriquez, Cynthia Dane, Erica Ortega, Chrissy Guerrero, Jonathan Kelly, Andres Londono, Efraín Figueroa, and Denise Blasor. Graphic designer, Marta Naranjo. Recordings, Rafael Valdez and Gerardo Nevarez. Editing, Juan Matos. Original music, Marcos Loya and Juliette Blasor. Script supervisor, production and direction, Denise Blasor. Executive producer and director, René Heredia. A Christmas Carol.LA, all rights reserved.